Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the live webcast once again. Great that you can be with us and thank you for joining us. Good to have you too, Barry, of course, as ever.
Well, as we were saying, brother, this is our last time together before our Easter break. And
that's right.
That'll be a couple of weeks. So it'll be actually 3 weeks from today when we'll have our next webcast. And then somebody else will be having a special day. Do you want to share what that special day is going to be that you won't be here for?
Well, yes. So the webcast is back again on the 30th of April, which is 3 weeks' time, which is actually my birthday. So Barry has been very gracious and is giving me the evening off. And so it will be Barry back on his own on the 30th. And then the following week, the whatever it is, the 7th of May, I'll actually be in Cyprus for the week, so I won't be with you all for about 5 weeks, but Barry will manfully, no doubt, hold the fort for a couple of weeks, you know, so a couple of weeks break and then back again on the 30th. So yes, how's your week going, Barry?
It's doing good. I mean, of course, you know, the older you get, you talk about how, you know, health issues and the weather, and the weather is neither are cooperating. But we're still in the tail end of winter, it seems. Today okay. Was minus four, I think, this morning.
And gosh.
Yeah, but how are you? How is it? I'm sure spring is in full bloom.
Spring is in full bloom. It's sunny. It's quite nice, mild, warm weather. Coldish in the mornings, but good. When I was in Germany over the weekend, on Saturday, it was 20 degrees on Saturday. And then on Sunday morning, when we woke up, it was -2.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's it was good. Good weekend over in Germany. Had a great, great time. Really, really good weekend. So,
I was saying, we were having the conversation, Mark. I mean, you've been away quite a bit, right? And you've got you were in Poland a couple of times, in Germany, and then you're gonna be in Cyprus, and then where are you going after that? Right?
So after Cyprus in May, I'm going to Uganda in June for 2 weeks, and actually wow. Mike Hammond's coming with me.
Oh, fantastic.
So I'm looking forward to that. I mean, we kind of dress it up as, you know, doing a Father Heart school and encounter week, but actually we're just going to sit by the river and take photographs.
Well, I mean, when you ride by the River Nile, you have to.
You have to, don't you? I mean, I've been there so many times and the view's the same, but it's always different, if you know what I mean.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. All the wildlife is amazing there.
The wildlife's beautiful. So, yeah, that's into June.
Wow, busy boy.
So try to keep ourselves, you know, don't want the moss to grow under our feet, as they say, or whatever. Yeah. So this evening.
Yes.
I've got a comment on the comments. We like the love part, but not sure about the running. I don't think we'll be doing any physical running. So, Mike, you're going to be okay. But, yeah, I'm going to talk about running into love. And so I'll kick it off and then we'll kind of just take it from there, see where the discussion goes like we normally do. But, Barry, do you just want to pray before we get going?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So Father, we thank you that your arms are always open wide for us to run into your embrace. And as we just take time as family around the world just to ponder what that looks like and just your amazing love to us. And Father, we just pray that we would just all be permissioned today in a deeper level just to run into love. And whether we're having good days or bad days with all our baggage, with all our distractions, that we could just welcome us with open arms. And so we just pray that your Holy Spirit that indwells us would just bear witness at a deeper level how much we're loved.
How much
God is a father to us, how much Jesus secured our salvation through the indwelling Holy Spirit, and that we would just be able to go deeper, higher, wider, and longer into the immeasurable depths of your affection today. And I pray you'd bless Mark, as he opens and shares his heart. And yeah, we commit it all to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thanks, Mahdi. See you in a few minutes.
All right.
Great. Well, thanks, Barry. So yeah, I just over the last couple of weeks, I've been in Poland, I've been in Germany, and you know, one of the things when you travel, you hear the stories, you hear people's testimonies, you hear what's going on in people's lives, and I just love that. It's always just amazing to hear some of the people's journeys and what's been happening since I last saw them or whatever. In Germany this weekend, we had on one of the sessions, I got two people to just share a brief testimony. One guy, you know, he just joined us for the weekend, first time he'd been to anything like this. But on the Friday evening, Father really spoke to him, did something in his heart, and you know, quite incredible, really. Just in just that short moment, it's just like he encountered love. And so he shared his testimony the next day, you know, what had happened the day before. And then there was another lady who'd done a Father Heart School with me back in 2017 up in Denmark. And, you know, just hearing the journey of the last 8 years of how Father's really been with her and, you know, walked with her and the transformation of love. It was just beautiful. So got her to share her story as well. And it just keeps, it constantly strikes me how much our lives are transformed when we make love our resting place, when we make love our home. And, you know, I just get so excited and so blessed to hear these stories, hear these people's journeys. And you know, it's just like whatever we're going through, finding the Father's love is just, I mean, I know we say it every week, but it's the answer. And it's the thing that really makes such a difference. You know, seeing people's lives transformed is just such a precious thing. And it was just wonderful, just these last couple of weeks, to have that experience. And, you know, I don't know what's going on in your life today or in this season. You know, it might be a time when everything's going well, there's joy, there's peace, and, you know, you think this is good, life's good. Or it may be a time where it's difficult, challenging, you know, the struggles of life, dealing with the stuff. And I just think, you know, whatever's going on in our life, whatever is happening with us today or in this season, we have a home in the Father's heart. We can make our home in love. And I suppose, you know, the encouragement is it's there's always more. You know, we can look back over the last few years and see what Father's done, and we can be kind of encouraged, and we can think, you know, God's done so much for me, and isn't he good? And we can almost become satisfied with the historical journey and think, yeah, that's good. And there's a tendency, I think sometimes it can be easy to settle and say, you know, God's been good, I'll just stay here. But actually, you know, there's always more. And really what I want to encourage us with this evening is that sense of there is more. You know, can you have hope for something new? Can you have hope for something deeper? Can you have hope for something more substantial? You know, can you have hope for more transformation in your heart and in your life? So really, This is for all of us, you know, whether we're in a good season, whether we're in a challenging season. Can we look forward with hope to, you know, the more that the Father wants to do? You know, I think if we ever get to the point of saying, I've got it, or I've done that, or, you know, that bit of the journey is kind of, I'll stay here, you know. What we've done is we've limited the extent of the Father's love to our mind. And, you know, it's way, way bigger than that, of course. You know, in Ephesians 3, it says he can do more than we ask or imagine. So whatever your wildest dream is, he can do more than that. He can go beyond that. Romans 15, verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may overflow with hope. And I guess that's what I want to encourage us with this evening, is that we begin to overflow with hope that there is something more. Because I think it's actually quite easy to lose hope. And when we lose hope, that leads to despair and we feel empty or abandoned. We lose our way, our peace is gone. You know, or maybe you just feel like you settled or lost the life you had. And you know, we lose that sense of hope for something more. But yet Paul writes in Romans there that, you know, his prayer is that God would cause us to overflow with hope. He would cause us to overflow with that desire for more. And, you know, that's really what I want to encourage us all with today, is that there is more. And let's keep kind of, you know, going for it. I mean, I did use the title Running into Love, but let's keep running deeper into the love of the Father. You know, there's that passage in Lamentations chapter 3 that we know when you read through Lamentations, you know, Jeremiah's having a bad day. You know, he's having a bad week, a bad month, maybe a bad year, but you know, things are not going very well for him. And he's got to the point in the middle of chapter 3 that he's really lost his hope, you know, and it's a very despairing place. He's lost hope, he's lost his vision, he's lost his purpose. He feels very low. And you can actually read that chapter, Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 1 to 18, 19 or so. And you can kind of think, yeah, that's describing my day. You know, that's what my day's like. That's what my life is like at the moment. And it's he's got to this place of absolute despair. But he remembers something. And we read in chapter 3, verse 21, you know, when he's in this point of absolute despair, he says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will hope in him. You know, right in that place of despair, he remembers love. And he realizes that love is the thing that's going to get him through. Love is the thing that's going to sustain him. And, you know, if you're in that place today, if this is the season of your life that you're in, that you kind of feel you've lost hope, you're in a place of despair or loneliness or rejection or fear or shame, just remember the love of the Lord never ceases. Yeah, and actually, if life's going well, I mean, I know this passage is the guy's having a bad day, but actually the same principle applies that, you know, even if things are going well, sometimes it's easy to become blasé and we forget that place of love. And I think that the principle is the same, that even if everything's going well, remember once again, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, you know. Love is a constant. Love is the thing that holds us. And here he is in the middle of his despair. He remembers the love of the Lord and he regains his hope. And it gives him kind of that fresh sense of vision and purpose and momentum again. You know, therefore I will hope in him. And we have that certainty that his love for us is always constant. There's a little quote which really kind of works nicely in English because it's a wordplay. So those of you whose English is your second language, this might pass you by. But there's a little quote that goes, you've got to have hope. Without hope, life is meaningless. Without hope, life is meaningless and less. And that's what happens when we lose that kind of vision, that sense of life and direction. The ultimate destiny, the ultimate place we end up in, is life has become meaningless, or meaningless and less. And, you know, it's a place we don't want to be. And so I want to just encourage us and say, you know, whatever in... when we are inspired by something, it will give us hope, you know, and hope is that belief that it will get better. And, you know, we have this amazing love. We have this amazing Father whose love for us is constant. And that's the place. That's our place of security. That's our place of belonging. That's the place that we need to tuck ourselves into, whether life is good or whether life is challenging, is that we find our safe place at home with him. Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with unfailing kindness.'" You see, his love is everlasting. It doesn't have blips. It doesn't get turned on or turned off. But his love for us is everlasting. It's constant. It's not dependent on how we behave. It's not dependent on what we do. It's not dependent on anything other than who he is. And his love for us is everlasting. It's constant. And that's our safe place. You know, when you read through the Psalms, that's the place the psalmist finds, where he knows he's safe, where he knows he's secure. You know, an orphan doesn't have that sense of security. An orphan is constantly trying to achieve things in their own strength or out of their own endeavor. There's always a desire to be or to do or to have. And, you know, then they don't have that sense of being loved, because basically an orphan heart is an empty heart. It's devoid of love. And so when we have an encounter with the love of God, it fills up the emptiness of an orphan heart and it begins to transform us. And so, you know, our pursuit is to go on pursuing and keep on pursuing love, so that it drives out that cycle of human endeavor and striving and performing, and keeps us in that place where we can just say, it's all been done for me. You know, I don't need to do, have, or become anything else, because I know who I am. I know who my Father is. You know, it's like, Barry obviously lives near the Niagara Falls. I've been there a couple of times with him. And it's just an incredible spectacle of this power, this flow of water, this cascade, this incredibly generous, never-ending supply of water that's rushing over the falls. And, you know, by comparison to the Father's love, that's a small measure. But it's, you know, for us, that's kind of a big picture. And it's like what the Father wants us to do is immerse ourselves in that waterfall of love. You know, we can stand by the side with a bucket and just fill up the bucket, or we can have a bigger bucket and fill up the bigger bucket, or we can get totally immersed in the cascade of the Father's love. And what stops us receiving more is a hard or a closed heart. You know, our independence, our self-righteousness. But yet when we open ourselves to love, it transforms us. And I think probably all of us have probably got part of our heart that is still closed, part of our heart that's not open. And the Father says, you know, can you bring that bit of your heart to me so that I can pour my love into your heart? See, to me, the opposite of love is fear, because perfect love casts out all fear. And I was thinking about this just over the last few days, and fear prevents us from being loved. Fear causes us to push love away. Fear is the thing that resists love. But the good news is love is stronger, and perfect love will always cast out fear. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, yeah, if our heart is closed, if we're bound up by fear, you know, and we can't receive love because of the fear that's in our heart, then actually we end up feeling, not only do we live in fear, but we end up feeling rejected because we're unable to receive love. And of course, when we feel rejected, we kind of feel like we're on our own, and you know, life can be very difficult in that kind of thing. Where self-worth goes, you know, our own value goes. And, you know, if we could just bring our heart to the Father, you know, if we can run into love, then that love, his love, will cause that fear to go. And as that fear goes, the resistance to love goes, of course, and therefore the rejection goes. And, you know, I guess I've seen so many times how fear paralyzes people. Fear is very crippling. But it's not just the fear, but it's all the side effects like rejection, like self-worth, like shame. All of those kind of things are very often the fruit of fear. You know, in the garden, Adam and Eve were afraid, so they went and hid. They were ashamed, so they went and hid. And because their heart had suddenly become closed to love, they couldn't receive love. And, you know, I think so often for us, it's the same. You know, something happens, fear comes in. I think fear is probably the kind of the biggest weapon of the enemy, because it just paralyzes us. And all of those side effects like shame, rejection, unforgiveness even, cause there to be a resistance to love. And, you know, I just believe that what the Father's saying is, can you just bring your heart to me? Can you just run into love and allow that love to drive out fear? Because when fear goes, rejection will go, shame will go. And we can begin to take those small steps of knowing that we're valued, knowing that we're loved, knowing that we're accepted. See, love does not play by our rules. You know, it's shocking. Love is shocking. Love is outrageous. And very often it's not what we expect, because we're kind of looking at it from an orphan-hearted point of view. But when we read 1 Corinthians 13 and we read John's first letter, we see how radical the love of the Father is. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, we know it well. Love is patient. You know, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Doesn't delight in evil. Rejoices in the truth. It always protects, trusts, hope, and perseveres. You know, that is very often, you know, because so often for us, love can be conditional. You know, we think people will love us if we do the right thing, if we do something for them. And so kind of love is the payback. And yet the Father's love is totally unconditional. It's not conditional in any way. And it's a patient love. It's unlimited patience. It's unlimited kindness. You know, it covers a multitude of wrongs. It's always there. It always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. You see, it's not how we view it. It's not how we imagine it sometimes. But yet this is the constant love of the Father for us. And as we allow ourselves to be loved, we are changed. We will become transformed. As love fills our heart, you know, we will be transformed. And the consequence of that is that we will become more loving. The only way for us to become more loving is to receive more love, because we can only love because he first loved us. it's actually very hard work trying to be loving. We've all done it, haven't we? We try hard to love. We try hard to be nice. We try hard to be kind. We try hard to be patient. And it's exhausting. But when we receive love, we can then give love. You know, we only love because he first loved us. And so our aim, you know, as Paul says in Corinthians, make love your aim, make love your goal, so that we focus, we have a life that's lived being loved. And the overflow of that will be that we become more loving. Love is the thing that's going to outlast everything. You know, in Corinthians it says, you know, everything will cease, but love will continue. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. Follow the way of love. Make love your greatest aim. See, love never fails. Everything else will pass away and will fade away. But the only thing that's going to remain is perfect love. And so, you know, whatever's going on in your life, whether it's a good season, whether it's a challenging season, whether you're feeling hopeless, whether you're feeling in despair, whether you're feeling rejected, whether you're feeling like under the cloud of shame, whether there's fear in your heart, I just want to encourage you, and I'll invite Barry back in a minute, but you know, I just want to encourage you to run into love, to make love your greatest aim. To really kind of say, yeah, this is what I want. This is what my heart needs. And, you know, take down the umbrella of defense that's letting the shower of his love miss you. But take that umbrella down and just let his love soak you. Ask for the container of your heart to be expanded so that you can receive more and more love. You know, don't try to change yourself, but let love transform you. So, you know, my encouragement today, and I'm sure Barry will have something to add, is to just continue to make love your greatest aim and to step into the arms of love, or run into the arms of love, just to know that, you know, your Father is your safe place. So over to you, Barry.
Well, I just say yes and amen, bro, to everything you said. That's absolutely keeping the main thing the main thing. It's really not rocket science, and I think that's why little children are the greatest in the kingdom, because that is the very center of their being, is receiving love and responding in love to those around them. And so, yeah, I think it's just, when you were saying about at the end there that, you know, no matter what we're dealing with, whether it, you know, we're struggling with disappointment or frustration or fear or devastation or loss or uncertainty, or which is kind of part of the human experience, you know, and, you know, oftentimes I think when we try to kind of humanize God, and like you had said earlier, when we try to define God by our own understanding of what love is, we are reducing him to there's that saying that said that God created man in his own image, and then man returned the favor, you know, where we just assume God must be like me, right? And the truth is, love is way bigger. It's eternal. It's immeasurable. It's beyond understanding it, and it's going to take an eternity for us to actually unpack it. And and the one thing I was thinking of is the, and I told you this before when we started, you know, when Mark had mentioned about running into love, and I just kind of teased him and I said, what does that mean? in our text exchange. But I have a bit of an understanding of that too. But I just kind of teased him with that. I was like, I just imprinted on me. It's just the prodigal son story. And of course, we're not quite sure if he was actually running into love based on his circumstances, right? He was in a pig pen. You know, he asked for his father's his share of the inheritance, very disrespectful. So he knew that when he left his father's house, the last time he would have seen his father, he would have wounded his heart. You know, he would have been you know, the father wanted him to stay there and he wanted to leave, and he went and he spent his inheritance on wine, women, and song. And then the famine came and he ended up in a pig pen, as we all know, right? And I don't know about you, but you know, over the years, I think I've found myself in a few pig pens of my own. And I mean just, you know, just dealing in your own self-effort, taking the weight of the world on your shoulders, mm-hmm. nothing like what he was doing. But I just want to be clear about that.
Good.
But just, we all have times when we just run out of our own resources. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until he got into that place where he came to his senses, when he was eating the food that the pigs were eating. And that's when the light came on and said, you know, mm-hmm. what am I doing here? I'm going to turn towards my father's house and I'm going to head home. And he had the script where he said, he's going to say to his dad, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Let me serve. And of course, mm-hmm. we know that a lot of Christians, just in our relationship with God, have this overwhelming sense of guilt and shame, and that we're not worthy. And so we try to find our place in the father's house through service. And of course, just like the prodigal son, the father for all of us, right? Just, you know, forget this, you know, you know, he didn't even let his son finish mm-hmm. his script when he came home. But I don't know if he ran into love. Because he was probably uncertain mm-hmm. if his father would receive him. He was probably fearful of his older brother meeting him before the father. He, you know, his own shame and guilt and, you know, probably smelling like the pigs. Like there was probably, he was bringing a lot home. So maybe he wasn't running. Maybe he was crawling, you know. I mean, that's what, you know, we were saying about running into love. Maybe sometimes we have to crawl into love or take a slow saunter into love. But however yeah. he was walking home, the Bible says that the Father saw him a long way off. So mm-hmm. what does that mean? But the Father was looking for him every day, watching, waiting for mm-hmm. the day when he would see his son return. And then what we see in this story is that love came running to him.
That's it. Yes. Yeah.
And so when we begin to see, because the Bible says that while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw mm-hmm. his arms around him and kissed him. And the Greek word there for kissing is like he couldn't stop kissing his son. So, you know, and I think honestly, when the encouragement to run into love is, even if you feel like you're plodding into love, even if you know that it's just this, a slow crawl into love, I just mm-hmm. believe that our Father is the ultimate opportunist, and he is just running into, and he meets us where we're at. And again, we know the Bible says that he fell on him and he couldn't stop kissing him. And, you know, of course, understanding probably the hygiene wasn't all that great at that moment, but it didn't matter to the father. His son mm-hmm. was home.
Yeah.
And then he called for the robe to cover the naked or the dirt and this kind of the stigma of working in a pig pen and a ring on his finger and sandals for his feet. And I just believe that, you know, when you talk about that, and that was the kind of the image that I had, that, you know, even when we turn our hearts towards mm-hmm. home, even at that moment, the Father he's just sprinting mm-hmm. to embrace us and, you know, running into his arms and just being able to feel that acceptance and affirmation. And I could imagine that this son was shocked. We don't really hear about his response, right? I mean, the father just hugs him, kisses him, and says, okay, restores him immediately, gives him a ring of authority, the signet ring, mm-hmm. and says, okay, we're going to have a party. We're going to kill the fatted calf. It's just like, I could imagine through that whole episode that the son was just like a deer in the headlights. Like, what? Like, what is this? I wasn't expecting this. Yeah. I'm instantly restored. It's not like I'm, you know, because he said, I'll be a servant. So obviously he wasn't even expecting to live in the house, but to live with the servants' quarters, right? And mm-hmm. just act as a servant for the rest of his life to try to undo all the things that he had done. And that's where I just come back to what you said, Mark, and just encourage people. What you're struggling with today, no matter how low you feel, no matter how you feel disqualified, mm-hmm. the Father, he is open and in his heart and in his embrace and his running towards each mm-hmm. and every one of us. And so, you know, I think if we run into his arms, you know, I think there's this glorious collision mm-hmm. of love, and he embraces us. And so even if it's just that moment of turning your heart and saying,
yeah,
you know, because even the son, you know, could he dare to believe yeah. that his father was that good and that kind and that forgiving? And yeah. and I don't think he did, because he just fully expected that he would just maintain the posture of a servant. So, yeah, I just have this picture, and I just encourage you, you know, when we go into a time of prayer and ministry, like maybe even try to ask the yeah. Father, just to, what does that look like, running into love, just going into yeah. his embrace and being able to just experience the affirmation and acceptance, no matter what we've done, yeah. that he is there. So, yeah, so that's yeah. all I have to say.
That's good. And yeah, I was just thinking, as you were talking about the lost son, I mean, for the older son who was out in the fields, full of his bitterness, full of his resentment, you know, we read that the father went out to him as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, obviously it was a case of running to him, but because he was kind of there on the doorstep, but the father went out. And even though that older son couldn't come home, didn't want to come home, maybe, you know, his heart was filled with so much other stuff. The initiative was with the father. You know, there were the same open, waiting arms. And, you know, I just think, you know, that's what we can do. We can run into his open, waiting arms mm-hmm. and, you know, find our safe place. Actually, Barry, I'd just like to play that video of that song. I'll run into his open, waiting arms, and then we'll come back and just pray a bit before we finish. Yeah. Is that okay?
That's good. Absolutely.
Good. So this is a song about running into his open, waiting arms. And I just encourage you just to sort of make it your prayer. It's about 4 minutes long, and then Barry and I will come back and we'll just spend a few moments just praying and seeing mm-hmm. what the Father wants to do for us.
Strong, it's here I find the truth of who I am.
Yeah, so let's choose to come. Let's choose to run into his open, waiting arms. Just as I was thinking about this today, I really felt there'll be someone watching, maybe to live or catch up, where fear had really gripped your heart and caused that sense of, you know, isolation and rejection. You know, and you just kind of like that fear had was holding you in a prison and was paralyzing you and had caused you to put up a guard of not being able to receive love and not to allow yourself to be loved. And this heavy feeling of rejection had just settled on you. And I just believe today, if you can run into the open waiting arms of your Father, just say, Father, here I am. You know, as he begins to fill you with his love, that fear will go and that rejection will go. So just take that little step of running into his arms and let him do the rest. So, Father, we thank you for your perfect love. Thank you that you're always waiting. You're always looking for us. You've always got your arms open. And just like the prodigal son, when you see us afar off, you run to us. You're loving us with an everlasting love. And I just ask, Father, that each one of us would have that desire, that longing for something more. You know, whatever's going on, whether things are good or things are difficult, Father, I just pray that there would be that sense within our heart of a hope for something more. And we would just run deeper into that place of love. Father, may we all each have an encounter with you just in these few moments where we experience your everlasting love, your eternal love being poured into our heart. I thank you, Father, that perfect love drives out all fear. And if there are people who are struggling with fear and rejection, then Father, I just ask for that cascade of your love. See what kind of love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. That's who we are. Father, I just pray for people who are caught in that prison of fear and rejection, that you would just lavish your love, that you would, that the initiative is all yours. We don't take the initiative is yours. Yeah. And I just ask, Father, that you would lavish your love, and it would be a heart that could receive that lavish love, that cascade of love. Even if the doors just open a little bit, Father, I just ask that you would pour that overwhelmingly generous flow of love into that person's heart and bring freedom in Jesus' name. Just bring freedom from that rejection, that blanket of rejection, that blanket of fear. Just drive it out and let love come, let joy come, let peace come, let rest come. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you that you are the perfect expression of love. And we just want to receive that into our hearts right now. Amen.
Yeah, Father, I thank you that your heart is to exchange our shame with a double portion of the inheritance of Jesus. That's the most amazing thing, that we get the same inheritance that you have given to Jesus. And Father, even in this moment, would you just help faith to rise up in our hearts to believe this is true. Help hope to rise up. Father, where there's despair, that we would have a garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Father, that we'd have beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Father, would there be a divine exchange happen even in this very moment where we can come to you, as it says in Hebrews, that we can come into your throne room boldly anytime when we need help and mercy in our time of need. And Father, would your grace just pour out on each and every one of us in a new and deeper way than ever before, that we would come into your arms and experience your comforting love, experience your healing love, experience just the encouraging, strengthening, hope-filled love that you have for each one of us. And I'm just, as I'm praying, I was reminded by a description of the Trinity, friend, shared years ago where he said, the right arm of God is Jesus and the left arm of God is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And both arms of God are drawing humanity into the Father's bosom.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, I just pray even now that the revelation of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are at work in each and every one of our hearts, convincing us, wooing us, bearing witness with our spirit. Mm-hmm. As Jesus said, Father, I and them and you and me, Father. That union that we have with Jesus has secured us union with it. And that the Holy Spirit pours the love of God into our hearts. This is the outflowing and inflowing and infilling and outpouring of love that expands our capacity to live in love.
Yeah.
So, Father, as even as Paul prayed in Ephesians 3, that, Father, that you would just strengthen our inner being, even right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would be rooted and grounded in love. And so that we could, together with all the saints, grasp how deep and how wide and how long and how high your love is for us in Christ, and that we would be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. And Father, I thank you that Paul ends that prayer by saying, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ever ask for, think or hope or imagine, that God wants to do the work. It's his work that just absolutely baptizes us afresh with his love. So, Father, I just pray that Mark and I together and our friends around the world pray together that this would become an experiential reality for each and every heart that is actually listening to this broadcast now or on the replay, in Jesus' name.
We can come to him at any time. He doesn't shut up shop, but we can come at any time. And I just encourage you to take those moments, you know, regularly through the day, every day, just to make love your greatest aim. Just to pause and just say, Father, here I am. Just fill me again with your love. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Yeah, well, thank you everybody for being with us once again. Have a good Easter break, and I'll see you in a several weeks time. Barry will see you again in 3 weeks time on the 30th of April. So have a good break and bless you all. Thank you.
And bless you. Happy Easter.
Thanks. Bye.